Blog Talk Radio.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.
You're listening to Inside the Park. Inside the Park. The RSV family. My usual suspects with me. Hot baseball topic. We're just going to jump right into it. I always tell them.
Gambling. What do you think about gambling?
It's
not gambling when you know you're
going to
win.
He's not coming out late. The RSV family. You're listening to Inside the Park. Season. You're listening to Inside the Park, and we couldn't be more happy to be here with you talking baseball. I've got my usual suspects with me. I got a little, let me introduce you for those of you who didn't hear these guys on the radio last night. It was epic, but first of all, we got Mike. He's like the commissioner of the show. He's going to tell you everything that's right and wrong with baseball. He's a big picture guy, and he just wants to fix this sport that we love. And then we got Hank. He's that guy that's had a couple brews. You're sitting down talking to him in the bar, and he's just going to give it to you raw and uncut, baseball the way he likes it. Hank, say what's up to the people.
Hey, how y'all doing? Go Blue.
And Mike, you out there?
Out there. Excited to be on the show tonight, guys, and go Red.
As you can tell, Mike is a Cincinnati Reds fan. We got Hank. Hank's on my side, the right side, Detroit Tiger fans. And, you know, this show, we're just going to give it to you, baseball, for a full 60 minutes, baseball talk, the way we like it. And we hope you find it as enjoyable as we do. So without further ado, we've been waiting a long time. We're just going to go ahead and get right into it, fellas. I want to start with our Around the Horn segment. I want to talk about some of the things that are going on in the sport, some of the hot topics from the past week. And I think we're going to start with this Ryan Braun issue. I know we got a heavy following in the Wisconsin area. Ryan Braun, he's off to a slow start this spring. I believe he's hitting 1-for-17. So there's definitely something going on with Ryan Braun. You know, we came off the suspension or the alleged almost suspension for steroids. He beat the case, stared it right in the face, and beat it. And now he's hitting 117 in the spring, and he's got a bit of a groin injury. We'll throw it to you, Mike. You got some Wisconsin ties first. Are you at all concerned with Ryan Braun and his slow start this spring?
No, I'm very concerned with the groin injury, though. It's spring training. So the real issue and the problem that Ryan's going to have once the season starts going on is the fact he doesn't have Prince Fielder batting behind him. So, you know, spring training, the lineups aren't the same. You're not seeing major league pitches all the time. You know, he could be working on something. So I don't read much into the stats. Now, if it comes down to, you know, the second week of May and the pressure of having to keep that lineup by himself without Fielder, but at this point, no issues.
All right. Hank, what do you say, man? What side are you on this?
I hate to say I told you so. But I told you so. Listen, he beat the rap. He did. Nobody ever said that he didn't do it. Okay, the pressure is already on Ryan Braun. I've already said that he was going to struggle first of all without Fielder, and now he's got everybody watching. And now he gets hurt. It's real funny. He didn't get hurt all last year when he was allegedly not doing anything wrong. But now all of a sudden, the season got started. Chances are he's going to start the season probably in the DL, and he's going to struggle all year long. I would be concerned. He's the only big ticket item they got now that Fielder is gone. And I, like I said before, you watch. I hate to tell you I told you so, but I told you so.
Hey, we're gonna take the kids' gloves off here. You know, they say when you're using steroids, you know, it helps you prolong your career. You can fight off some injuries. Are you hinting to the fact that maybe he got off the juice and now he's starting to show signs of breaking down?
Oh, no, he's not breaking down. Come on, this is Ryan Braun. This is the MVP of the National League. He's not breaking down, psych. Of course he's breaking down, okay? And he's breaking down already, okay? All of a sudden, as good of a player as he was, and we can go stats all day long, it was Prince Fielder and then Ryan Braun, okay? But Ryan Braun benefited from that. Now he's got to carry the whole team all on his own. I still think he was juicing. You know, they never said that he wasn't. They just said it was a technicality that he got off on it. So, yeah, he's breaking down, and this is going to be something to watch. Stay tuned.
You know, I think that's harsh. You know, Ryan Braun's a young guy. First of all, he doesn't have the build of the guys that were juiced in the past. He just doesn't fit the profile. And watching him play, he's one of the top five players in the league. I don't believe he's juicing. I don't believe that was an issue. And I think you're just hating on the Brewers right now is what it is, because you got the wrong Brewer. You know, you got the guy eating second dozen donuts in the clubhouse when you really wanted Braun. So you're just hating now.
I don't know if it's the steroids or not, but something's not right with Ryan Braun. I mean, he's typically a guy who hits for a high average in the spring. And to play baseball, you got to be loose. You got to have a free mind. And something, I think the steroid issue is definitely bothering him. I don't know whether he took them or not, but it's on his mind. He's doing a lot less media. He's not as approachable as he has been in the past. You know, typically when you see groin injuries and things of that nature, you're tight, your muscles are tightening up. I think something's going on. I don't know what it is, but I do know what it is. He's got this steroids issue on his mind, and I hope he can separate it when he gets on the field. I mean, last year we saw Sin Shu Chu was going through some personal issues, and it affected his play on the field. I think Ryan Braun's having some of these same issues. He's taking his steroid issues out on the field with him. And you can't play baseball with a lot on your mind.
Amen.
You know, I think, or so 10 years ago, no one's doing steroids anymore. It's growth hormone. It's testosterone. You know, you guys, you're just too old. You can't do that anymore. You know, it's something better than that. If he's doing it, it's not steroids. I think you guys are completely on the wrong page here on that one. He's going to get this together, and Hank, in a couple weeks, we'll talk about it, all right?
We can talk about
it. I'm sure we'll be revisiting this.
Steroids, you can...
Let me say, I didn't say steroids. I said he's got something on his mind. So,
oh, yeah.
let's move on to another hot topic. This one, I don't think we have any Yankee fans on the show, but all the Yankee fans were up in arms. The guy... one of the core four, Andy Pettit. He's back. He's going to hit the mound again in 2012 after taking a year off. Fellas, is this a big deal or much to do about nothing? What do you got, Hank?
You know what? Why don't Carlton Fisk come back? You know, why don't some of these other cats come on back? Andy Pettit, okay, he's another one. He's another one. Okay, he quit. He wasn't getting it done. Okay, now the Yankees kill me with this. Okay, they go back and get Pettit simply because he felt nostalgic now that this boy the retired. Come on, this team right now is killing me with all the nostalgia that's going around with these ball players. He should have hang it up, let it go. You know, the Yankees, in my opinion, need to just go ahead and just let some of these young players play. You know, so they get their pitching staff together. I think it's stupid. I just think it's a bunch to do about nothing because I just don't think he's going to finish the season.
It needs some young blood, huh? Well, Mike, let me ask you this, Mike. What are you expecting from Andy Pettit? You think he'll have a good year, a bad year? Will he play at all? What are your thoughts?
You know, I think Andy Pettit has a very specific role on this team, and that's just kind of that veteran leadership. that the Yankees really have had for quite a while here. I don't think they expect him to throw 200 innings. I think they'd be happy if he threw 100, 150 innings. And if you look up and down that rotation, there's some lively arms, some good young arms, you know, going from Nova to Pineda to Hughes. You know, Hughes looking real good in spring training. If he starts away from anybody, you know, I would say maybe Kuroda, who's on, a 1-year contract with them right now. And Andy Pettit's just an insurance policy. You know, that's it. And so I wouldn't read anything else into that. He's a number 5 starter for him. And if you're going to give the ball to somebody every 5th day or actually every, you know, 10th day, figure you're going to skip him every once in a while, why not give it to Andy Pettit? He'll give you 5 innings, give up 3 runs. You know, you can trust him with the ball. I don't see the downside to it.
At $2.5 million, it's almost a steal.
Yeah.
I'm on your side on this one, Mike. You know, 2010, Andy Pettit actually had one of his best seasons. I think statistically, if you look at his ERA, if you look at his WHIP and his ERA plus, this was one of his top 4 seasons in 2010. You know, granted he pitched a lot less. I think he got injured around about August, but you know, when he's on the mound, I think he'll definitely help the Yankees. Also, you got to keep in mind, I mean, they're not expecting him to be the ace or the number 2 as he was prior to leaving the game. Well, I think he's going to be like the 4 or the 5. So, you know, at the back end of your rotation, you know, I'll take a 4.3 ERA in that division, in that ballpark. Why not for $2.5 million? But I do agree with Hank. You do have to go with the younger guys, but I don't know that he's really blocking anybody who's ready to flourish. You know, I still think they can get Pineda in the rotation. Phil Hughes has pitched out of the bullpen before. You know, he had a down year last year. I see no issue throwing Phil Hughes back in the pen. Go ahead and cutting Freddie Garcia. So, you know, I guess I'm in the middle. I'm agreeing with Hank to an extent, and I'm with you as well, Mike.
Weak. Pick a side.
I'm definitely picking a side on this next one. And to the listeners, I promise in the future we're not going to dominate this show with steroid talk. We've hit Ryan Braun. We've hit Andy Pettit. And we got one more topic, and it's got a little steroid infusion to it. But again, listeners, next week it will not – we'll go on a steroids band next week. No steroids talk. But George Brett had some interesting comments, and I just wanted to know what you guys thought about it. I know where I stand. I got a strong stance on it. But George Brett came out and said that he would not vote for any steroid users in the Hall of Fame. I staunchly disagree with George Brett, but I want to see if I'm the minority here. Mike, views on steroid users in the Hall of Fame?
You know, that's a slippery slope just because the vast majority of the people that you associate with the steroid era never tested positive officially for it. Now, there's some guys that did, and if he's simply talking about, you know, the list of 50 that came out, that's one thing. But there's a lot of insinuation, innuendo. The spirit of what he's saying, I absolutely agree with it. You know, I think you got to pass the eyeball test. You know what I mean? And if it just didn't make sense, doesn't make sense that somebody had the numbers that he had, you know, legally, normally, well, you know, I don't blame those guys for being put off by it. But the problem is, you know, where does it end? You know, you know you don't want Barry Bonds, you know you don't want Mark McGwire, you know you don't want Sammy Sosa, but, you know, what about some of those middle-of-the-road guys that maybe never tested positive or weren't as high-profile with it. I'm just saying without the facts, it's tough to make it a black-and-white issue.
So let me ask you this. Where, you said you know where you stand with Bonds. Where do you stand with Bonds? Is Bonds a Hall of Famer?
The question I ask people is Henry Aaron the home run king? And the answer is yes, he is.
Okay. Is Roger Clemens a Hall of Famer?
Yes. Yes, I think he's a Hall of Famer. I do. Now, see, I'll separate the two, and I believe that, in my opinion, everyone's going to have their own opinion on this, that Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens specifically really used steroids, in my opinion, to further their career, to get that last 5, 6, 7 years. And so what I like to do is look at those careers in the first half, first three quarters, and if they're Hall of Fame worthy, then I don't have a problem with that. Clemens being one of those guys, and Bonds, both those guys being really good examples of that. But if you start talking about career achievements and, home run leaders and things like that, well, then it gets murky for me. You know what I mean?
In that case, I'm going to put you on the spot with one more. Mark McGwire, yeah. Oakland A's, Bass Brothers. I think it's safe to say he was using them. St. Louis Cardinals had the single-season home run record. Is Mark McGwire a Hall of Famer?
Well, he used to have the single-season home run record, right?
Indeed.
So the answer is no, because if you take away those 4 or 5 years that McGwire had with the Cardinals, and, you know, we're going to say, all right, he doesn't pass the eyeball test. At that point, we think he's on steroids. Does his career in Oakland by itself justify induction in the Hall of Fame? And to me, the answer is no. No. I think that's a pretty easy one.
Hank, you want a piece of this?
I sure do. I just couldn't wait. I'm over here dying.
Let me tell you something. Break it down for us, Hank.
I will, okay? Once upon a time in baseball, we went on strike. Major League Baseball went on strike, canceled the World Series. And all of a sudden, we come back. Baseball comes back. All of a sudden, everybody's launching the ball out the park. You've got steroid brokers walking through Major League Baseball clubhouses, selling stuff to these players. Everybody turning a blind eye, including the Major League Baseball commissioner. All of a sudden, the chicks dig the long ball. All of a sudden, all these guys are being glorified for bringing the game back. All of a sudden, you got the home run race. Then all of a sudden, somebody said, oh, they're juicing. And it still wasn't an issue. Okay, it was so cavalier. They were so cavalier about it. That's why Mark McGwire even came out and said he was using Andro. It was all good. Okay, so all of a sudden, these guys do all these things, shatter all these sacred records, and now all of a sudden, they're all criminals. All of a sudden, no, I would never do that. When you got a list of ball players, which means that everybody was doing it, then it was technically, quote-unquote, legal. Now, I'm not advocating steroid use. But the question is, should they be voted into the Hall of Fame? And I say yes, because baseball condoned it. Baseball absolutely begged for it to bring the sport back. So now baseball in and of itself is taking the individual players and holding them accountable, when all they had to do was put a stop to it then and there. But, oh, no, they weren't going to do it. So now they want to tell us that these players aren't Hall of Fame worthy. They brought the sport back. And if you got those names in the era that brought the sport back, they should be considered for the numbers that they got. And you want to put an asterisk by their numbers, then do so. But to set the era for what it was and what it did for baseball.
You know, I got to agree with you, Hank. Again, I mean, these guys, we don't know who was using. We can speculate. But, I mean, you see some of the suspensions that have been handed down. You've got middle-of-the-road pitchers being suspended for steroid use. You've got middle-of-the-road hitters being suspended for steroid use. Medically, I don't know that we really know for certain what steroids can do for you. And, you know, it humors me that everybody takes this self-righteous approach with steroids when, you know, we do have performance-enhancing drug users in the Hall of Fame as it is already. I mean, we've got a million guys who admitted to using greenies. You know, the little pills they would pop that would give them energy to go ahead and keep playing or push through those day-night doubleheaders. So, I mean, those are, in fact, performance-enhancing drugs, which were against the rules, and guys were popping them. And, again, Major League Baseball turned a blind eye. I mean, we let these guys in, mm-hmm. but steroid users don't get the same love. It strikes me as a bit self-righteous, and it strikes me a bit as, Some people in the higher ups trying to selectively prosecute who they want to and keep, you know, some guys out of the Hall of Fame and you know, let in whomever they is likable and approachable. I mean, we completely forget. I mean, look at all the love Andy Pettit's getting when he comes back. You know, look at all the love David gets. I mean, he's been you know, he supposedly failed a test. Yet Barry Bonds, nobody wants to see him come back. It strikes me as a bit self-righteous. And then to Mike's point, you know, we just don't know when these guys started juicing, and we don't know who was juicing. I mean, like I said, you had pitchers that were on the juice. So does that not balance it out? Who the hell knows? So I say let them all.
One thing I do want to add. One thing I want to add, though, guys, and that's this, is that, you know, let's not underestimate playing baseball, okay? What drives me nuts, if you've ever played the sport, you know, they go, oh, he did this, he must be juicing. I don't care if you take everything out there. It's not going to help you hit a curveball. It's not going to help you hit a fastball. If you can't catch, you still can't catch. If you can't run, and it makes you run faster, but you don't have enough knowledge to play the game, then you're still not going to be good. One thing about it is, did the ball go further? Yeah. Did they throw? Did they put a bit more RPMs on their fastball? Maybe. But they still had to pitch. And for some of these guys, it just kept them on the ball field, so they could do the things. They still had to play the game.
See, like, I think that's a short-sighted view. I really do. Hate to disagree with you so early in the show, Hank. But RJ, I think it's a when you say there's no medical proof what this does to you, you know, first of all, I get where you guys are coming from, okay? And I'll tell you what, the players who took it, they did get rewarded. They got massive contracts, guaranteed contracts. So they got their due. So let's not act like they're, you know, redheaded stepchildren. These are all very, very rich people. But as a fact, hitters gain bat speed by using steroids, by you know, bulking up. That's what Mark McGwire exploded. His bat speed was incredible. Same with Sammy Sosa. That allows you to catch up to the fastball. That allows you to wait for the curveball to the last second and knock it out of the park. With pitchers, it's different. It didn't add velocity. It's talking about recovering from the wear and tear of pitching. It allowed Roger Clemens to stay healthy. It didn't add to his fastball. But these are proven medical facts. So, and let's be honest, if it didn't work, they wouldn't take them. All right? If it didn't work, they wouldn't take them. Now, whether they belong in the Hall of Fame, that is total opinion, and everyone's right to it, but let's not dispute the fact that people took steroids because they worked.
Well, of course they worked. It kept them on the field. That's what I said.
But it didn't work for everybody. It's like Hank said, you got to see the ball and hit the ball. There are plenty of steroid users who couldn't hit the ball.
And we don't hear about them,
though.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. I mean, the Oakland A's had a guy who was just suspended named Jason Preedy. You ever heard of him? Is he tearing the league up in the minors? No. You got to be able to see the ball and hit the ball. Steroids is not a magic pill that helps people become Hall of Famers.
Right. It's a magic pill that helps very good ball players become great ball players.
And again,
and great ball players become Hall of Famers. Would you?
Yeah. Whether in the Hall of Fame or not, that's an opinion whether they deserve it. Hank, I see the validity of what you're saying, but I just don't want to put some doubt around the fact that steroids help people, help them get better, you know, than where they were before, whether that was from a health perspective or a performance perspective, because if they didn't, people wouldn't take them.
What about the Hall of Famers
right.
that were using the greenies, Mike?
You know what? Once again, a slippery slope, but I would say that in my mind, that's a different classification, okay? The steroid use, the human growth hormone use, was about building your body, unnatural recovery from injuries, unnatural muscle mass, unnatural bat speed, whereas the greenies, you know, yeah, it was a pep in your step, it was an upper, but, you know, it didn't turn you into the Incredible Hulk, you know. It just made you a little jumpy, and you were able to stay awake in the seventh inning. Is there an advantage to that? Sure, there's an advantage to that, but I don't think it compares to the huge jump in numbers that we saw in the steroid era, and even now in the human growth hormone era. To me, it's black and white, because the effects of the drug.
I don't know. It sounds a little naive to me to say that it didn't have an effect on your numbers. I mean, if I'm tired, I'm not up for a game, and I take a pill, and, you know, maybe I get a burst of energy and knock one out of the park, that definitely has an effect.
You know what, on the face value, I'd say yes, but let's look at the home run numbers from, you know, the 70s through the late 80s, and you had guys winning home run crowns with home run totals in the low 30s, all right? Not until, you know, Sosa, Bonds, McGuire, you know, really the Bash brothers coming on the scene with Canseco, McGuire in, I believe, 88, where McGuire started off with 50, and that's when it all started. But so you saw like a 50% jump in what it took to win the home run crowd. That's a major, major difference, and it just changed the game.
I don't think Hank and I are going to convert Mike over.
No.
So I'm going to go ahead and keep it moving. Well,
sounds good.
Hot topic.
I know. We can go on all night, but we'll go ahead and keep it moving. We want to do a little AL American League preview. Unfortunately, we don't have time to diagnose every team for you guys, but we do want to give you a feel of what we're looking forward to, what we think about the season. And so we developed a piece that we're going to, you know, keep bringing to you. We're going to call it If Gambling Were Legal. And this is a segment where you can kind of take our picks, take our predictions, and if you're headed to Vegas, or you can go ahead and take your money to the window and put your money down on what we're about to tell you. So with that being said, I thought we'd use the first segment of If Gambling Were Legal to preview the AL. So I wanted to ask the fellas, who are you guys putting your money on to win the most valuable player in the American League this year? And we'll go ahead and, since Hank and I won that last argument 2-1, we'll let Mike start. Mike, who you got for MVP?
This isn't a democracy. What are you talking about? MVP. All right. So I know you Detroit guys are going to love for me to say Miguel Cabrera. No, wait. Prince Fielder. No, wait. Justin Verlander. No. None of those guys. None of those guys. All right. I'm going to go with Adrian Gonzalez. All right. Guy came into Boston last year. He OPS at 957. Had just a fantastic season moving into the American League. The problem was the pitching staff and the team itself completely collapsed at the end and took him out of it. Generally, your MVP, especially in the American League where you have a lot of quality candidates, it's going to come down to whose team knocks it out of the park at the end. I expect the Red Sox to really do much better this year, but Adrian Gonzalez, I think, is the best player on that team, and I think he's going to be the MVP this year in the American League.
I like Gonzalez. I think he's going to have a big year. I think the issue may be they may split the votes because, you know, Boston's going to be there at the end of the season. But you got to, you know, they got Ellsbury, they got Pedroia, who garnered some MVP votes. It'll be interesting. I think Gonzalez is going to have a good year, but I think he's going to have to get over that hurdle of not splitting the votes with his other teammates. Hank, who you like for MVP?
That's a good pick, bud, and I would have said the same thing. I'm going with Prince Fielder. Yes, Prince Fielder. I'm going to tell you why. Prince Fielder has got protection again. He's going to play every day in Detroit because he's going to either have Cabrera or somebody in front of him. He's going to get a lot of pitches to see. I think that he's going to enjoy right field at Comerica Park. I've seen him having a big season, big year this year. Yeah, it's a homer pick, but I think that's a sound.
Damn, Hank, you're making us look bad, Hank, because I'm going with Miguel Cabrera. I tried really hard. I knew Mike would be talking about me if I went Cabrera, but I got to do it. I mean, the guy has been there for the past 2 years. One could argue that he was the MVP. I mean, he's actually going to be hitting third this year. He's going to have more at-bats. He'll be hitting in front of Fielder, which, you know, can hopefully guarantee he'll see a lot better pitches. The past 2 years, in 2010 and 2011, he's finished 1 or 2 in offensive WAR. So I think it's his award to win. And you know, similar to the NBA where they just give it to the guy who's been waiting year after year, I think this is Cabrera's year to win it. Tigers, of course, will probably run away with the division. So why not give it to a division winner?
Wow. So now we know you guys are coming from. So two things with that. First of all, to use your logic of Gonzalez splitting the vote, if you've got Cabrera and Fielder on the same team and they're both doing well, they're going to split the vote, all right? And second of all, I have a tough time thinking he's going to win the MVP when the Tigers are obviously going to finish third in the division to be a disappointment. So
I'm looking for the gong button because you're killing me right now. Tigers third in the division, huh?
Well, I didn't want expectations too high for him, you know what I mean? You know, it's Detroit. You guys aren't used to winning the big game, the big series. So, you know, I think we should start small.
Wake us up when the Reds do something significant.
Mm-hmm. Not a problem.
That was real precious, Mike. I appreciate it. That was cute.
Hey, Hank, let's show them how big a homers we can be. Who you like for Cy Young, Hank? Hank, Cy Young, what you got? I know you don't have to think about it too long.
Oh, man. You know, should I go off the beaten path? Nah, I ain't going off the beaten path. I'm going with Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander, I believe, is the best pitcher in the American League. Okay? Bar none. Now, you can argue about Weaver, and you can argue about King Felix, but he's only going to win maybe 10 ball games with that sorry team he on. But I think that, again, you got a division winner. He'll probably win another 20 ball games or close to it. So I'm going with Justin.
You think he can come back and repeat, huh?
I just think that, he's going to get run support, okay? And do I anticipate 24 wins? No. But Justin Verlander, 17, 18, 19 wins on that team, I think will be a solid MVP candidate.
Mike, do you want to pick another Tiger for Cy Young, or are you going Verlander too?
Is Rick Porcello still on your team?
you can have Fister, who you like.
Well, you know what? Just a quick response to Verlander. I think he's obviously incredibly talented. In my mind, I hate to say it, I think he's an injury risk this year. On top of that, if you look deep into the stats, I believe he had the second lowest BABIP rating of any pitcher in baseball. So the balls that were put in play when he was pitching against them, he had the second lowest batting average against. So a lot of that he can't control. And so I think that just naturally those numbers are going to go up. So you're going to see a slight decline in his numbers. But regardless, he's a fantastic pitcher, and there's no reason why he couldn't win that. I went a little bit different direction because I don't go gaga for Detroit. I'm going to go with David Price. And let me tell you, I know he's not – you know, maybe you're right off the top of your head, but I'm looking back at his 2010 numbers, all right? MVP candidate, certainly Cy Young candidate at that point, 2.70 ERA. And I looked at his numbers for 2011. Now, obviously, the ERA went up about a half a run, a little bit more than a half a run. But his other numbers stayed exactly the same. His whip stayed within, five one-hundredths of a point. His strikeouts actually went up, and his innings went up. So I think he's got great stuff. I think he had just a bad luck year last year, going 12-13. And so he's my pick to have a comeback year and, ride the Tampa Bay team into the Cy Young.
There it is, 33 minutes in, and we got our first BABIP reference. Congratulations, Mike. I thought I'd be the one who broke it out, but you did it, 33 minutes in.
Thank you very much.
It's funny. I actually agree with you, Mike. My pick as well was David Price. And
wow.
I went through the same logic. I looked at some of his peripherals. I mean, the past 3 years, his strikeout rate has gone up. In the past 3 years, his base on balls rate has gone down. So, I mean, the sky's the limit with this kid. I see him going nowhere but up. He's got a great defense behind him. I think that may hurt Verlander, actually. I don't think he's injury-prone, but that defense behind him may cost him a couple hits. Some guys' range isn't what it used to be, should be, could be. So with David Price, the peripherals, the defense, I think they'll finish, with a fair record, so he'll probably get some wins. I like the Price pick. He's my Cy Young pick as well. So I guess if you're in Vegas, go ahead. Throw it all on Price. Me and Mike got you covered.
Yeah, now go help. Tell Hank he's wrong.
Now.
2-1.
Go ahead, Hank.
I'm disappointed in you.
Take my fan card away.
I'm gravely disappointed in you on that one. You got one of the top strikeout pitchers in the American League. What is all of this defense? The man won games last year on strikeouts, and he got more run support this year. Well, I anticipate more run support this year.
Hank, once the ball's in play, man, you got to have a defense back there to catch it, to field it. Defense plays a part.
Yeah, and I guess last year he really had him a stellar defense last year. Give me a break. They had platooned at second base, okay. They brought in Wilson Betemeek, for crying out loud, to play third, and he still won 25 games last year, 24 rather.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Hank. I gotta go Tampa Bay on this one. We got to keep the listeners in other cities happy, Hank. I can't go Detroit every time. So
okay, I got you.
Now we're in a corner, Hank. There's no Detroit prospects, I don't think, getting a call up. You could argue Jacob Turner, but we'll see. But where are you going for Rookie of the Year, Hank?
Well, there ain't but two places I can go. But I'm gonna go with Yu Darvish. I think that kid's the real deal, at least from what I've seen. He's got a decent defense. He's got a strong bullpen with Texas. They're going to score a ton of runs for him, and I think that's going to, and they're going to protect him well enough, and I think he's going to have an incredible season.
Yu Darvish. Let me go ahead and throw my hat in the ring here, so Mike can't try to copy my pick again. I'm going Jesus Montero, and I've got a man crush on this guy, I must admit. And the guy is a hitting stud. Granted, you know, he's been a Yankee hitting prospect for years now. He was blocked by Jorge Posada. They finally moved him over to Seattle. They're going to give him a shot to do a thing, to swing the bat. And when he got that shot in New York, he took full advantage. Granted, he only played 18 games, but the guy hit 4 home runs in those 18 games and slugged his way to a .590 slugging percentage. I mean, if he can come anywhere close to the numbers he put up with the Yankees in Seattle, I mean, he's my lot for Rookie of the Year. Mike, where you at?
This just hurts a little bit. I'm on board with you on this one, too.
I knew I should go. That's why I went first.
I agree with you. And one of the reasons that I like him is especially in the American League, all right, he's not the best defensive catcher out there. But, you know, even if he struggles in that position, they're going to be able to move him to DH. They're going to be able to let him play at first base. So I think the defense isn't going to take away from his offensive numbers. Now, that wouldn't be the same if he's playing in the National League or someone who had, you know, just a rock-solid first baseman. I know Smoke is in Seattle, but I think they're going to be able to protect Montero in that lineup just by playing him. He's not going to have to worry about defense, is what I'm saying. He just has to focus on the plate, drive in some runs. And let's be honest, there's not a lot of pressure in Seattle this year, so he can relax and just hit the ball.
Indeed. What are your thoughts on Yu Darvish's chances? Let's hone in on Hank's guy a little bit. What do you think about
you? I think he's that's a totally legitimate pick again here. And the reason, if you start looking back at just recent, let's call them import pitchers, okay? So let's go back 20 years and, you know, Hideo Nomo, you know, busted on the scene and had wonderful success early on. Now let's talk about Dice K. You can even go to the Yankee one. I can't remember his name, the Frog.
Arabu?
Yes, Hideki Arabu. All these guys had initial success just because the league had not seen them, and there's some tweaks to that. And I think after their second and third year, even in the second half of that initial season, they come back to earth a little bit. But Yu Darvish, definitely has the element of surprise on the American League right now, and he should be able to ride that at least for the first half, if not three quarters of the year, to a good record. Mm-hmm. And let's be straight here. He's a good pitcher. You know, we would expect him to do well anyway, but when he's got the jump on the hitters, that just gives him more reason to be successful.
And you can also got to understand, too, that he won't have to pitch a ton of innings to in Texas with that bullpen they got. So, you know, as you said, you know, they may figure him out, but then in the same token, you know, they can protect him a little bit over there.
I definitely think he'll be better than the other import pitchers. I mean, the guy has never had an ERA over 2.0 in Japan. You know, I don't know what that will transfer to in the big leagues, but I think he's going to be good. Rookie of the Year, though, I'm not sold just yet. Only because Jesus Montero is just so good to me. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Who votes for the Rookie of the Year? Who votes for the Rookie of the Year?
Who votes for it?
Who votes for it? Uh-huh.
Usually, it's the.
My point is this: if he has a sexy year, and all you've heard about was really in the off season was Yu Darvish, and you heard about Yoenis Cespedes. Those were the two big names in the preseason. That's all you heard about. Now, Montero, he's going to have a hell of a season, because if this kid wins 15, 16 ball games with Texas, that's all you're going to hear.
Well, you know, to that point, I think people get excited about the unknown, and right now, Yu Darvish and Cespedes, quite frankly, they're the unknown. So I think that's where a lot of that hype comes from, and. You know, they're going to have to go on the field and prove to the people they're worth the hype. But, you know, typically you're going to get a lot of hype around the unknown. So we'll see if they can live up to it. I mean, like I said, I think he's going to be good. But I think Jesus Montero is going to be great. So,
we'll see.
You know. Go ahead. All right, let's go to the next subject. I think this one... This one is right in Mike's wheelhouse. We're gonna play commissioner for a little bit with MLB recently coming out and saying that they would not expand replay this year. You know, for those of you who don't know, there was discussions about expanding replay. You know, right now they'll just look at home runs and whether they're fair or foul or if someone interfered with the home run. They were going to expand that. To also look at the catcher trap when a fielder is trying to make a play, and they're going to look to see whether they caught the ball or trapped the ball, and they're also going to look at all fair and foul balls. The ruling came down that they were not going to do anything this year. They're going to table it and look at it for next year. So, Mike, we're going to put our commissioner hat on. Are you a fan of expanding replay?
Definitely not. Definitely not. I think it slows down the game. Baseball is slow enough as it is. There's a certain amount of flow that comes into it. And, you know, I don't think we, as a society, we become so enamored with the specifics, the details, getting it exactly right. And, you know, I think the NFL has learned this, even with super-duper slow-mo replay, sometimes it's still not clear, and 10 minutes later you're under the curtain. So I'm all about, you know, the umpires, I feel, do a pretty good job, all right? That's always up for debate. But, you know, this replay doesn't work with baseball. It just doesn't. You know, let's move the game along. If there's a good call, if there's a bad call, you know, we like seeing, you know, Pinella come out of the dugout. We like seeing Bobby Valentine come out and, you know, kick dirt on the umpire and argue about it. To me, you're taking away an element of baseball there. You're probably taking away a little bit of the aggressiveness from the umpires. So, no, I'm not a fan of it.
Hey, expanding replay, yay or nay, what do you say?
I'm with Mike on this one. You know, there's some purity to the game, you know, and Mike makes a valid point that part of baseball was Earl Wizard, Billy Martin, Lou Piniella, coming out the dugout, raising hell, kicking dirt. That's baseball. That's part of the game that the fans like to see. You don't want to turn it into the NFL. You don't want to turn it into any more of lag time than it already has. You know, what you want to do is move the game along. I'm with you right there. In fact, I hope they take the time to realize that, you know, baseball, there are things about baseball. It was a blown call or something to kill the umpire calls that makes the game what it is. So I'm with you. I don't think they should fool with it at all.
Yeah, as much as I'd love to take the other side to keep the listeners engaged, I got to agree with you guys. I mean, I love watching baseball more than most people I know, but I do not want to see a 4.5-hour Yankees-Red Sox game. We got to figure out ways to make the game faster. I think instant replay will definitely slow it down. I mean, if this is something that they just feel they have to do, you know, maybe just do it in the playoffs. But I don't think there's that many calls where if it goes one way or the other, you're really going to impact the game on a large scale. If you're just looking at catches and fair foul. Now if we're talking, looking at plays at a bag or at the plate, you know, that's a different story. Would I be in favor of that? No. But, you know, I don't see what they're trying to do or talking about doing impacting the game that much. I mean, hell, what's going to happen if they call a ball that's originally called foul and then they deem it fair? I mean, how many bases is a runner going to get if somebody's on base? I mean, you can't retroactively go back and say, oh, okay, I think he would have gotten two bases on that one. Go ahead and take your two bags. I don't know how it's going to work.
Listen, baseball in and of itself can be a very complicated sport. You know, you try to explain a balk to your average fan. You try to explain the infield fly rule. You've already a ground rule double in certain parks. I mean, you know, where was the runner when he advanced? There's a lot that goes with baseball that you know you got to really know the sport in the first place. To slow it down anymore, to come up with something to try to bring it to, I guess, for the lack of a better word, the next millennium. Some things don't need to be. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And in this case, I just say don't fix it. Leave it alone.
let me ask Mike this question, just so those with opposing views can get a taste of how that argument could go. Mike, do you think the replay that they have in now, are you in favor of it? Do you think it slows the game down?
No, because let's talk about how often it's invoked in a game. You know, you may see it once a week if you're following your team. You're not seeing it every game. You're not seeing it, you know, three umpire challenges for each bench. You know, it's pretty rare that it comes up. So, you know, at least where it's a disputed call. So I guess I'm okay where it is now. Because, you know, if you're talking about a home run, then yeah, you know, that's a pretty momentous call right there that can go left to right. So, you know, I don't think it's too big of a drag now. When we start seeing that, 2-3, you know, interruptions per game, that's just too much.
and Hank, where did you stand on this replay when Galarraga, our guy, got robbed of his perfect game?
I hated it. I hated it. I don't, you know, the umpire choked. But you have to ask yourself, okay, that wasn't the worst call made, and it won't be the last bad call made in baseball. You know, there was a call in the World Series between the Cardinals and the Royals, which if you talk to any Cardinal fan, they'll tell you it cost them the World Series. Okay, and that umpire had to live with that. It's baseball. You know, it's baseball. If it wasn't for some of the way some of these stadiums were built and the way the walls were configured, the umpires will probably have an easier time making a home run call, but you've got all that padding and stuff back there. They can't tell if it's been hit off the top of the wall or in somewhere, you know. So that's just the way it is for that. But it's baseball, you know. I can't go with instant replay in baseball. It's just not the way the game was played.
You don't even want to see the home runs like that. No replay.
No. You know what? Just put a fence back there. If it goes on the fence, it's gone.
World Series Game 7, a bad call goes against your team. You don't want to see replay then?
Now, you know, that's not even a fair question to ask me, okay?
That's very fair.
And, you know, guys, I hate to be the only one to, you know, when they start doing those replays of was it foul, was it fair, I can never tell. I can never tell. I don't care how slow they make it. I can't tell if the little white dot went in front of the yellow line or behind. I must need a better TV, okay? That must be it. I must need a better TV because I can't tell.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, man. I don't know what in the hell is going on. But that being the case, I think there is something to wanting to get the call right in the playoffs. Wouldn't you agree?
Certainly.
Listen,
certainly. I mean,
okay. I want to say this. I'm not trying to cut you off, Mike, but listen, that's why the Major League umpires go to school. That's why they do what they do. That's why they pay those guys what they pay them. It's different than any other sport, professional sport. They pay those umpires to be, you know, damn near computers themselves, okay? Don't take that away from them now because everybody else decides to do it. That's crazy to me. But remember, the umpires in baseball are trained, you know, year-round, and only the best of the best get to the show, just like the players.
Mike, go ahead and tell them why we want to get it right in the playoffs.
Well, I got an idea. So let's treat umpires like doctors, okay? You make doctors carry malpractice insurance. Let's make umpires carry bad call insurance. And every time they mess it up bad, a team can sue them, bring them to court. And we'll have a big judge and jury, and we'll figure it out that way. That sounds like fun. We can get a whole other, like, cable TV channel set to it, and the argument will never end. So, you know, it's never going to be perfect, no matter how much you slow it down. So it's just a matter of degree you want to fix it. And at this point, baseball has a bigger issue. And to me, here's the question. I think baseball has a bigger issue holding the attention span of the current fan because of the length and the style of the game than a problem they have with bad calls. And so if bad calls getting fixed are going to cause you to extend the length of the game and lose more fans than you currently are, then it's not in the best interest of the baseball, the health of baseball to do that. You know, is it the best interest of getting the call right? Absolutely. But if you continue to lose fans, if you continue to lose interest, you know, you're not getting the young kids playing baseball as much as they used to, then it's the wrong decision.
And that's why we call Mike the commissioner. Mike, why don't you, I'm going to put you on the spot here if that's all right.
Yeah.
If you could change one thing with baseball, what would it be?
Wow, one thing with baseball. Well, first of all, I take the Cardinals out of the NL Central because I can't stand them. All right? Let's put them in the AL East where they belong. But, you know, the one thing, and I could talk for hours on this subject here, is the unequalness between the leagues, all right, the discrepancy in talent between the league that's going on now and why that is. And I need people to understand where that's going to go, okay? And there's two things that are driving it right now. One, the big market teams, the owners with money, okay? You just have an unequal balance of that in the American League right now. With New York, with Boston, with Texas getting a mega TV deal. Same with Anaheim. Now the NL has some teams too, but if you look at ownership there, the Mets are bankrupt. The Cubs just got bought. They don't have any cash. The Dodgers, bankrupt. So you're getting more and more players going over to the American League. One, because they have the cash to spend, and two, and this is eight issues rolled into one, because of the DH. Because American League teams can afford to give Albert Pujols a 10-year contract knowing that there's no way in the world he's going to play passable defense those last 4 years. One, because they can afford the contract, and two, they've got the DH to hide him in. So the inequality between the leagues and the overloading talent of the American League is my number one issue with baseball right now.
I think you just gave us our next show topic, or at least the next three, I should say. You know, we could go on and on about that, but I don't know that we have time. We're going to try to keep this to a 60-minute show. So what we're going to do right now is go into the dog of the week. And for those of you who are regular listeners to the RSG, you guys know how we do it. We come up with a dog of the week, somebody who just, you know, did the damn thing the past week, somebody who impressed us, somebody who made us laugh, somebody who just stepped back and said, wow. We go for a dog of the week, and we're going to get right into it. Here's the Resistance Digital dog of the week.
Cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Hank, I know it's spring training, but do you have a dog of the week for us this week?
I do. And since we're about running out of time, I'm going back homer again. I got to go with Ryan Rayburn. Ryan Rayburn hit 6 home runs already, I believe, this spring and counting. I'm thinking he's going to have a big year. So for tonight, Ryan Rayburn is my dog.
You see him carrying us over into the season, huh?
He's had a better spring than he's had. Usually he's sorry, but this time of the year, real sorry.
Hey, I got to ask you, man. Are the Tigers winning the World Series this year?
Oh, you put me on the spot. I'm hoping they do. I think they got a good shot.
Yeah, you're a very optimistic Tigers fan. I love it. I had to ask. All right, Mike,
I'm
dog of the week for us.
You know I do, but since it's the initial show, all right, and it's spring training, I thought I had all the history to pull from for dog of the week since we didn't have a show last week. So here's what I'm going to go with. Over the last 20 years, no one in the entire Major League has done their job better to the T with more success than the guy who manages the salary cap for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's done a great job keeping that salary low. They're paying $20 million a year to keep that whole league, that whole roster there. He's doing a great job, nickels and dimes. Pittsburgh management couldn't be happy with a guy managing the salary cap.
Be careful that they may take the Reds this year. Be careful what you wish for.
if the Reds fall down, trip, and get run over by a car.
Well, you're gonna love this. My dog of the week is he's been a Tiger, he's been a Red, and you know he made the news again today. I got to go with the Angel that's sitting on Dontrell Willis's shoulder. I mean, this guy has more lives.
Wow, you're right.
This guy has more lives than one man can count. I mean, he's been cut by numerous teams. I mean, he's walked more men than any pitcher ought to be allowed to walk, first of all. But, you know, Philadelphia just released him this week, and I don't know how he does it, but Baltimore picked him up and signed him to another deal. So, Dontrell Willis, whatever you're doing, it's not working on the field, but keep doing it, brother, because somebody's looking out for him, and that's why he's my dog of the week.
You know, RJ, I'm going to have props to Dontrell. Now, I watched him pitch with the Reds. I think he had 13 or 15 starts with the second half last year. He did a good job. He was a competitive pitcher. He wasn't the dominant pitcher that he was, but he had decent stuff. I think he's a legitimate candidate to make a weak rotation on the back of it. And let's be honest, there wasn't any room with the Philly staff, and he's not a guy that you're looking for long relief from. So he's got talent. I think he'll stick with the Baltimore staff. He'll be their number 5, number 6 guy. And I think people just need to give him a little more credit than they are.
No, Dontrell's not a starter anymore. He was a bullpen option, and he threw out of the pen in Cincinnati. I think he got it, but he's not starting for anybody. I mean, many a time he walked the bases loaded and gave up some runs.
Yeah,
sounds like hurt feelings over there.
He can't find home plate with a GP.
Exactly. As Hank said, he can't find home plate without a GPS. So we're running up against the clock. We thank you guys for listening. We'll be here the same time next week. Please tune in, 9:30 Eastern time, 8:30 Central. Fellas, you got any closing words?
No, it's been great.
It's going to be a long.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Peace.
See ya.
Mikey, there you gone. Mikey, there? Hank? Mikey, there? Hello?